Well, welcome this morning. What a powerful time of worship together. I hope you were singing and savoring those songs this morning as we were singing along. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather, even if we're not in the same room. We need to collectively worship, and this allows us. I'm grateful for technology and the internet. So would you let us know, if you have not already, just let us know that you're with us this morning on Facebook. Just place a hello there, good morning. We would love to say hi back to you this morning as we gather in a scattered way this morning. I just want to just say that I am so impressed by many in our church who are making the transition in these days of the virus to the online environment. This morning, I believe our kids zone met and had their own Sunday school. I also believe and understand that our youth have met and used the technology of Zoom to gather together. In the coming days, maybe you caught this at the early part, there are opportunities to hop online in prayer on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in a prayer group, and we'll be there at those specific times. Also, look for Bible studies that we'll have up and running off our Facebook page. You'll also be able to see them on our website. We don't want to miss a single opportunity, even in these days, to take an opportunity to grow. Well, friends, I don't know about you, but I've been a little overwhelmed. How many of you would raise your hand out there? I mean, that would say that you've just been a little overwhelmed these days. I want to let you know that I am grateful for a group of guys that met with earlier in this week and just were speaking into me. I rattled off just a litany of things that were just running through my head. And the group was a gift to me to speak healing and hope and opportunity. Well, as we get into today's message, I want to just tell you it is on community. On community. Isn't that kind of strange? We are a community at YFM who love God, love all people, and follow Jesus together, living out love. That's our call. That's our call. And in this series of Be Still, the last few weeks of called Be Still, Cultivating a Connected Life, I had no idea that we would be forced into the rhythms and practices of the ways of Jesus as we have. The silence and solitude that we talked about, the Sabbath, simplicity, prayer, and then even our opportunity to dive into Scripture in these unusual and weird days that are on us. And while they're unusual and weird, they offer us an opportunity to evaluate our pace, our rhythms, and our rituals of our lives a little more closely, don't they? We're able to engage the restlessness of our hearts and souls and allow them to be healed in a greater way, allowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit to mold us into a life that He's been calling us to all along. I want to just ask you, maybe there are a few practices that you have missed in the sermon series that we've been in, Be Still. You can go back and re-engage these, re-listen to them, and allow these days to, may they be opportunities to put them into practice so that we may be healthier and more whole as a body of Christ that is life-giving. Well, today, as we've said, we'll talk about the practice of community as a practice of cultivating the connected life. You may be thinking the same thing I was when I realized that was the topic for today. I mean, these were selected a while ago. I was just a little weirded out, to be honest, to know that we wouldn't be gathering in person, collectively, shoulder to shoulder, hand to hand, face to face. It just weirded me out. And to know that we have to, even in the same room, we're recommended and advised strongly to keep a 6-foot distance, if not further, from each other. So you may be asking, as I was asking myself, Steve, how do you talk about community when community is scattered and not gathered together? How do you just get into it like that? Well, I think these days, as I said before, become opportunities for intentional community that we've never seen before. That while we may not have seen them in our lifetime, that there are those who have gone before us who have and have endured those days with greater strength. And so I think there are opportunities for us to be intentional about creating community, much like our Kids Zone and our student ministries already have and will continue to do. As we get into this thought, I want to share with you just a quote from James Bryan Smith. He says this: by serious reading and reflection, by practicing the spiritual exercises, and by entering into community, we create the condition in which the Spirit can transform our character. And even in these days, may I just lean in, even in these days, we cannot bypass community as a way of growing in Jesus, a way of practicing the ways of Jesus. We have to be reminded in this whole idea that community is not something we created. What do I mean by we? You, me, and the whole world. We didn't create community. The idea of community and relationship started from God himself. He was the creator of community. It was part of his original design. Listen to this. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God knit together this wonderful relationship within the, if you will, the Trinitarian understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, of which we understand and believe. But then he wove into it us, male and female. We are part of that. The story continues, as we know, from Genesis chapter 1. As we understand it, God walks in the garden with his created, Adam and Eve. We have in our minds, I hope you're imagining in your minds, this idea of Adam and Eve, and somehow there's a God with them in the lush of the garden he gave to them. It's the same image I think he wants to implant deep in our hearts that he wants to have with us at all times. He wants to have this relationship with the whole of creation. Let me ask you, can you imagine yourself in a slow journey through a large garden that's lush, or hike through the woods with God? Just you and he are talking and sharing. There's this reassurance of care, and you're wrapped deeply in his love in this opportunity that you have. There's a warmth and a joy and a peace permeating the walk, maybe a peace that you don't have today, but he wishes to give you, I promise you, if you just go to him, if he is allowed to be your refuge. And in this image that we have from Genesis chapter 3, we have this almost this kind of anticipation of looking forward to the walk. Not only us with him, but he with us. If that's the case, can you imagine that Adam and Eve looking back with a longing to the days of the cool in the garden after Genesis 3, after sin was introduced into the world, after they had disobeyed, and they're looking at God through the rearview mirror of their lives at that point? In a very real sense, many of us have the longing of community, even in these moments, like Adam and Eve had at that time, separated from their one that they knew was their sole provider, and yet it's separation. And we too, this morning, may have that same longing, that same desire to be in another place than we are right now. Well, while this is uncharted water for us all, the situation of being exiled is not a new idea for the people of God. Being separated from one another is not new, brought on for various reasons. My mind this week traveled to Nehemiah, who was distanced from his native land and his native people while serving a whole other nation in another place. And we know, as we read at the beginning of Nehemiah, he hungered for the days where God was worshiped, not in a scattered sense, but in a in a gathered sense in his homeland, and not just by himself, but to all who had been taken into captivity. We this morning may have that same hunger. We may have that because that is part of the DNA in which God has made us. He has put us together for a reason, and we're keenly aware of that reason this morning, the value of community, and that we're unable to meet. As we continue the thought of community, I want you to take out your Bibles if you have them before you, or take out your devices and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at the last portion of Acts chapter 2. Peter has just given a sermon, and in this sermon during Pentecost, he turns many to the heart of the Father who had been calling out for Jesus's own life just days prior, but he turns them to the heart of the Father because of the power of the Holy Spirit in that place. Just as we're praying, we'd be in tune with God this morning by the Holy Spirit. And what we see is there's a practice at the end of Acts 2. All of these hearts had turned to God. These people had raised their hand and said yes to Jesus in their lives. The reality of his existence becomes bearing down on them. And what we see at the end of Acts 2 is something that has carried us on as a people of God for centuries. Let me read it to you, if I may. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What we see there is a picture of maybe what we cannot participate in this morning, but it is a picture of the body of Christ who has come together and knit themselves together around Jesus and around the kingdom and around the call of his love on our lives to be lived out for all people. There's an interesting thing that transpires that when we look at the New Testament that we may not see so much, and it is found there. We in America and the Western culture tend to live in a what is often called to in sociology terminology as a weak group culture, an individualist group culture. We tend to look out for ourselves and only for ourselves. We tend to look to our own concerns and our own constraints, often forging our own way, maybe even away from family and away from friends. We live in that kind of a culture. But when we read into whether it's Acts or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels of Jesus, we see this strong group culture is what it's called. This family culture that is knit together. What we fail to recognize is that Jesus himself calls us into this strong group culture. He calls us to follow him. As our mission statement says, that we are to love God, love all people, and follow Jesus together. It is truly to follow Jesus wherever he leads. In this idea of even when it comes to separating from family and friends who may or may not know and love Jesus. We are to follow him into that. That we are to be kingdom and the body of Christ in a way that is yet to be seen and understood. I find it rather interesting that even though in Acts 2 we find this passage where they're together and they're taking care of each other, it was soon thereafter that they were scattered around and to other places, and sending letters and sending couriers to one another throughout the community. It was that kind of a strong group culture that continued to bond and bind the community of Jesus together wherever they were at. And that is the case with us this morning, that we are to be bound together by Jesus. I don't know how many of you remember the blizzard of 1978. I was trying to think if there was any time in my life that I had been bound, homebound for a period of time, that I couldn't go anywhere, that I was told to, well, had to shelter in place, if you will. And it was during that period of time. I remember it must have been at least 2 or 3 weeks in which we were homebound and were unable to get out. There were phone calls that went back and forth between family members and friends to find out and make sure that they were okay. There wasn't mail happening, but everything just kind of came to a stop. But there was this overwhelming sense of care that happened in our neighborhood, even in the rural neighborhoods, where people who needed help found a way to help other people around them. I remember even my dad and my uncle, who had access to tractors who could plow and to actually push snow, they made their way to get the tractors and slowly made their way up the roads to be able to create space and places so that ambulance and others could get around. That there was a call during that period of time on just the very basics to take care of one another. I think about that and the call that Jesus calls us on to live this out for those around us, those who are the most vulnerable around us. How can and what ways can we create a connected community in this time? How can we be intentionally creative in the ways that we can connect? As we continue to create and cultivate the connected life through silence and solitudes, through Sabbath, through prayer, through scripture, all the ways that Jesus practiced, all the ways that he leaned into. We cannot forget, even in these days, while we may have family with us, that community is part of our connectedness. Community is what helps to form and shape us into the people we are, just as I needed earlier in this week by my friends who met with me, who spoke into my life, as many of you find when you make phone calls, and they're unsolicited, but they're surprise phone calls, and people share concerns, and there's a level of connectedness. How in this time, in these days, can we create creative community? How can we move it into that realm? What would be our next steps in this process of moving toward a connected community so that our spiritual lives don't, as we move onto the interior of our lives, that we can also move onto the exterior of lives, that we can see that God is moving there. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 writes this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." It's our job to consider with the Holy Spirit what it may be, what it could look like, even in these days, to create a community that is intentional and seeks to the well-being of others. The writer goes on, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I think that there's an urgency to this writing. There may be even just a simple urgency of the writing of this day, right? For us here, that we feel this pressure, that we feel the tension, I should say, the tension about wanting to encourage one another and yet knowing that there's distance. But how can we walk into ways of creating community in these days? I want to share with you just a few things that I thought of that are very simple. They're pretty basic, I think, but they're opportunities that we can step into if you have not thought about them. And thought about how to create community in these days. One would be call somebody on the phone. Just simply don't use your smartphone as a way to get to the internet, but actually use it as a phone, which it was originally designed. And call somebody, listen to them, Allow them to share what their heart is and where they're at. Pray with them. Take an opportunity to do that. Maybe send a note or a letter through the mail. I know it'll move a little bit slower, but these days, slow is good. It's not a bad thing. And send a note to somebody that you've been thinking about. Create community. Allow some time to think about who might the Holy Spirit bring to your mind to do that. Join an online group for prayer or Bible study. We invite you to join the groups on our Facebook page at YFM. But we also would encourage you to create an online group. Maybe you have a group, but you're reading a book and you can join in and have others join in on that book and create an online group, wherever that may be, whatever platform you would do. Take a walk in your neighborhood. And as you walk through your neighborhood, obviously you're going to greet at a distance if somebody's out, but pray for your neighborhood. Create community. Create a heart and a posture that is for your community, that you desire to see them come to know Jesus, but even to see how you can minister to them in these days. If you're going to the store, offer to pick up items for others in your neighborhood, especially the most vulnerable. You may know who they are. They've been living around you, and you can reach out and say, "Look, I'm hopping to the store. What do you need? What can I pick up for you?" These are a few ideas. I don't know if they're the most creative or not, but they are a few ideas. But what I'm interested in, and we love to see them posted on our page, what are creative ways you are creating community? Or what ways could we create community? Take a few moments and post them on the page. Let's take an opportunity to spur one another onto creative community as we love God, even in these days. If we love all people, we look around and we say, how can we reach out and love them in a way that is phenomenal in these days? And this idea of just following Jesus together, even though we're scattered, we are together. We are together seeking the kingdom. We are together seeking the practices and the ways of Jesus to see kingdom, see Jesus and his name be brought fame. Robert Mulholland says this: "It is the community of faith that we find support structures of the classical and personal disciplines through which God conforms us to the wholeness of Christ for others." I think that's the goal of Be Still, Cultivating a Connected Life, that we become changed on the inside, that we're so changed that we can't help but to want to share with others, to connect with others, to allow the life of Jesus to be seen in us and through us. And in these days, the Lord is offering us the opportunity of creative ways to connect. Maybe you can create a online group. It's a book, a Bible study, a prayer group, a mom's group. Maybe you can make phone calls to people you have never heard their story. And it's time to hear their story, how they came to Jesus, where they're at in their life, how you can pray for them. These are wonderful opportunities for you to step into. In a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity to sing again as we close out this time together. But before we do, let us pray. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in the scattering of our people. Lord, I pray that you would speak into us, that, Father, as you continue to do the work in us, that connecting or cultivating the connected life with you as we're still before you, practicing whether it's silence and solitude or stepping into Sabbath for the very first time or prayer or scripture reading in a way that allows it to minister our hearts. Father, would you allow the flow of your presence in us and through us to be a conduit of creative community out of us for those around us, those who need to be seen, those who need to be heard, even in these days where we're not seeing too many people. Lord, allow our ears to hear and allow our hearts and our minds to be moved by your Holy Spirit to sense where you're calling us to. Jesus, we love you. Father, we're grateful that Jesus came and gave us a life in him. And Father, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit. We're grateful that we in these days as followers of Jesus have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. We have everything to gain in you. So let us rest in you, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name.